Good evening. If you want to take out a Bible, turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 17. That'll be the basis for our study this evening as we consider a very familiar story. Because when I say the name David, many things may come to mind. But above all else, that great battle with Goliath is one that nearly everyone will think about without a shadow of a doubt. And this is arguably one of the most popular stories within Scripture, maybe even top five as far as how many people know this story, even those that do not believe in the Bible or know much else about it. And weirdly enough, I've never done a full sermon with just this story as the focal point. Want to know why? It could be considered too easy to do. It's one we probably all know like the back of our hands. And to that I say, oh, really? Kidding, of course. But as I've said for previous studies, you can think you know something about things you may have read it 11 times before, but it's something about that 12th time that makes things stand out. And you realize maybe you missed something. Hopefully, that's the case tonight. Maybe sometimes those details we may have brushed off as unimportant, but the fact of the matter is they add to the story and the richness of the meaning of the study. And so in 1 Samuel 17, we see the story of David facing Goliath, and we appreciate this story as a story of being able to withstand an enemy of greater size than we are. That as we sang this morning, the battle belongs to the Lord. And as we talked about in the sermon this morning, it is the same Lord our God who we are to trust in all things, no matter what the circumstances are. And in this, we will see David face a foe much greater than he. So let us return to this story and find inspiration and encouragement from it. Why? Because I think it goes without saying. I'll say it anyway. We are all facing Goliaths. And this story stands testament to the superiority of God over all adversity in life. It stands as a testament that through God, we can win the battles we face daily. It stands as a testament that the enemy or the things that we face, those battles, they will not last. No matter how strong they are, no matter how great they are, no matter how long they are. Let's talk about it. First thing we're going to see is the setting of the stage in those first few verses there. Let's read verses 1 through 11. It sets the stage, giving us the introduction to Goliath, the champion of the Philistines. It says verses 1 through 11, "Now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle and were gathered at Socoh, which belongs to Judah. They encamped between Socoh and Azekah in Ephes Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up in battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side with a valley between them. And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze, and he had bronze armor on his legs, and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, and a shield bearer went before him. Then he stood and cried out to the enemies of Israel and said to them, 'Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And you servants of Saul, choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us.' And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Three things we see established in this first section of verses. First of all, Goliath. He was a big boy. He was about 9.5 to 10 feet tall, strapped with over 150 pounds of armor and weaponry, and he himself was estimated to be close to 600 or 750 pounds. Man was as tall as a young giraffe and built like an ankylosaurus. Dude was big, comically big. Secondly, the sheer size of this Goliath and his threatening demeanor, that was enough to cause dismay among the armies of Israel and Saul himself, the king, the one who's supposed to inspire his armies, the one that's supposed to lead his armies. He was stricken with fear by Goliath. Because of this sheer size of him, he posed a great threat. Third, due to his size, he was a force to be reckoned with, and from his speech, even he thought this of himself. He was boastful. He was challenging the Israelites, challenging the armies, wanting this great and epic battle with an Israelite champion, and in his boasting, presented the challenge and figured he would win. So made that bet. If he won, the Israelites would serve them. Of course, he thought he, it doesn't say in the scripture, but you know he thought he could win. You give somebody that size, you give somebody that set of armor, he's going to think he's unbeatable, indomitable. And his speech reflects that. Standing in this valley, calling down a champion. Come on, face me. Let us have this great and epic battle together. And so he made that bet. If I win, you serve us. If you win, we'll serve you. So the stage is set. The challenge has been made. The stakes have been raised. All that is left is for Israel to produce a champion. Next, we see a scene of David, who's been introduced to us in the previous chapter, being anointed to be king, playing the harp for Saul. Here, he is sent to bring supplies to his brothers who are encamped in the aforementioned encampment. Verses 12 through 21, it says, Now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and who had 8 sons. And the man was old, advanced in years in the days of Saul. The 3 oldest sons of Jesse had gone to follow Saul to the battle. The names of his 3 sons who went to the battle were Eliab the firstborn, next to him Abinadab, and the 3rd Shammah. David was the youngest, and the 3 oldest followed Saul. But David occasionally went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening. Then Jesse said to his son David, Take now for your brothers an ephah of this dried grain and these 10 loaves, and run to your brothers at the camp and carry these 10 cheeses to the camp to the captain of their 1,000. And see how your brothers fare, and bring back news of them. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. So David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with a keeper, and took the things, and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the camp as the army was going out to the fight and shouting for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had drawn up in battle array, army against army. So even though this champion was standing forth, declaring that he wants a champion to fight in this 1v1 epic battle, there's still battles going on, the many battles between the fodder of Israel and the Philistines. And now David is getting in the picture, being sent to his brothers who are at the battleground dealing with Goliath and the Philistines. He is told by his father, bring his brothers and the captain supplies, bring them food, grain, bread, cheese. The point of this being, if this supply run didn't happen, we wouldn't even be having this discussion right now. Fact of the matter is that David wasn't supposed to be the one fighting the battle. He was not a soldier. He was young. He had another role in the grand scheme of things. Currently, played the harp for Saul to release that distressing spirit that came upon Saul. Feed his father's sheep. That was his main role. David was a shepherd boy. He was not a soldier at this point. He's coming to this battleground for the supply run. And this supply run changed everything. If he didn't come, you think about what would happen. Israel's going to just shove some guy out there with armor, ill-prepared, stricken with fear, not driven by faith. You think he's going to win against Goliath? And so enter David, who's coming down for this supply run. Probably not at all expecting to actually get involved with the battle, let alone against the great giant champion of the Philistines. This is where we see David now here at the camp, finding out what's all the commotion. And he's asking the same question over and over to different people within the army. Let's look at that. Verse 22 through 30. David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army, and came and greeted his brothers. Then as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them. Now he's present. Now he hears the challenge be put forth. Verse 24, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel, and it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter, and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel. Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Oh, wait a minute. You just heard what was going to be done for the man that fought against this Philistine and defeated him. But he's not asking because he didn't know. He's not asking because he didn't hear. He's asking for another reason. But I'll hold on to that for a second. Let's continue reading. Verse 27. And the people answered him in the same manner, saying, so shall it be done for the man who kills him. Talking about what was mentioned in verse 25. The great riches, the tax exemption, giving the daughter. Verse 28. Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David. And he said, why have you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you've come down to see the battle. And David said, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another and said the same thing. And these people answered him as the first ones did. Why is he asking the same question over and over to all the different people? Now that he's here and has seen Goliath firsthand, how he's defying the armies of Israel, insulting the armies of the living God, David then started to ask this question. What was the reward for the man who kills the Philistine? But that's not the important part of the question. The important part of the question is what he says after that. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? This guy over here is going to talk all this about the army of the true and living God, and you're just going to stand for it? You're going to take that? Someone needs to shut this guy up. So he kept asking the question to the man. Why? Not because he wanted to confirm the reward, but perhaps he was trying to stir up by way of sneaking in that little reminder. You are a soldier of the army of the living God. You were soldiers of God. You fight in the name of the Lord. And you could win if you just really believe that in yourself. But because you've let fear take over your faith, here you are, cowering. As David saw firsthand, the men fled from Goliath, were dreadfully afraid of him. David was not. And so when Saul finds out that David was here and was asking this question over and over, Saul then brings David before him. And David says he's going to go fight Goliath. Excuse me. Verse 31 through 37. Now when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. Then David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." Moreover, David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion or from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." So word gets back to Saul. David was over here asking everyone the same question. Saul has David brought before him to talk to him. But what's interesting, despite him being summoned by the king, David gets the first word. David was the first to speak. He was the one confident, faithful, trusting to be able to speak up. And what did he say? "Your servant will go and fight this Philistine." That probably stunned Saul in that moment. Saul even tried to talk David out of it, but David defended himself. Or rather, he defended God, saying that God delivered him. Yes, David by his hand struck down the bear and the lion, but it was because of God's deliverance. God delivered him. God granted him victory over the lion and the bear. And he gives God the full credit for delivering him. David recognized that the Lord had been with him during his prior battles, and that he would be here for him during this battle. Then we see them try to give David armor and weapons, but he went out with neither. So Saul, verse 38, all the way down to verse 47. Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword and his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself five smooth stones from the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give your, the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know what? There is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. David, still a young man, and of smaller size, yet was being equipped with Saul's armor. We know from Saul's description in the previous chapters, he was a tall man. He was a big man. Compare that to young David. So that problem showed itself. Given these armor and weaponry that were built for another, could not walk with them. He had not tested them. They were not a good fit. But the thing that David recognized and that he spoke before Goliath to his face, he didn't need all that stuff. He didn't come with the armor. He didn't come with the sword. He didn't come with the spear or any of the traditional weapons of war. He came with a staff. He came with the sling. He came with five smooth stones. Fact of the matter is this: the Lord is greater than any and all weaponry. The presence of the Lord to David, who declared in his own psalm that the Lord is a shield about me, the presence of the Lord to him meant that he had something greater than the best armor and the best weapons. I don't need all that stuff because I trust in the one and true and living God. You want to curse me by your gods, your idols, your things that you dreamt up and decided to worship? I come to you knowing the truth, knowing who is the true and living God, knowing that he is the one who gives victory. You have defied him this day. You have defied his armies this day, and now I stand against you because of that. David knows that the Lord delivers, that the Lord would be with him to give him victory over Goliath. That's the ultimate weapon. That's the ultimate defense, too. Finally, because God was with him, David defeats Goliath. Verse 48 to the end of the chapter. So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag, took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him, and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Now the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines as far as the entrance of the valley to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell among the road to Shaaraim, even as far as Gath and Ekron. Then the children of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines, and they plundered their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem. But he put his armor in his tent. When Saul saw David going out against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the commander of the army, "Whose son is this youth?" And Abner said, "As your soul lives, O king, I do not know." So the king said, "Inquire whose son this young man is." Then as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, "Whose son are you, young man?" So David answered, "I am the son of your servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite." The chapter ends there. And we see David's faith in God prevailed when all the others in Israel's army was ready to cut and run at the sight of Goliath. Not David. Young David was more courageous, more faithful, more trusting in God than literally all the rest of the army of Israel. And they were armed with weapons. They had armor, not David. David defeated Goliath with a single rock. Not because the rock was superior, but because God was superior. And that's the greatness of this story. Not David being a superior fighter, but God being the superior one. Not Goliath being a great behemoth of a giant man, but God, his superiority, his presence in our lives, meaning that we can overcome any and all the battles we face. Well, the fact of the matter is that this is not an easy life that we live. It's a life of stress. It's a life of problems. It's a life of adversity, not luxury, not fun and games. There's going to be a bit of both, but in life, we are all going to face many battles. Each and every one of us. And no one is exempt from that. Sometimes these battles will seem too great to fight. We see how great of a threat Goliath was back in verses 4 to 6. He was a giant in height and in mass, a warrior from his youth, a champion. We're going to face massive battles that will sometimes seem too great for us, that overwhelm us, that shake us, test our faith, test our trust. And sometimes we don't want to fight. Sometimes these battles will bring us dismay, just like Goliath brought dismay to the army of Israel. They were all greatly dismayed and afraid because of Goliath. The battles we face, again, they're going to strike fear in us. They're going to cause us to be dismayed. And this is a deadly combo that will cause us to feel overwhelmed and defeated. And the worst part is sometimes these battles are going to come when we're not expecting them. They will surprise us. We will be thrust into them without prior knowledge to them. That's how it goes. When David came to bring supplies to his brothers, you think he was expecting to fight one of the greatest battles that he's known for? Probably not. Let me drop this stuff off. See what's going on. Get out of here. Nope. He got involved that day. Probably didn't wake up thinking that he was going to get involved. He was not a soldier. Kind of showed up, and then there's this big guy here talking down to the armies of God. And so alone, David stepped up. That's another thing. Sometimes these battles we face will happen when we're alone. David didn't even have the support of his own brother in verse 28. The brother criticized him. And they all doubted David when he first came before Saul. Alone he marched out there. Alone he faced the enemy that threatened his very life. In verses 43 through 44. Same will happen to us. We will face battles alone from time to time. We will face battles that threaten us severely, that cause severe damage to us. But with God, we are never alone. Never forget that. David didn't forget that. God had been with you through the battles you've already faced, just as David recognized that the Lord was the one that delivered him from the lion and the bear in verse 37. This wasn't David's first fight, and it sure enough wasn't going to be his last either. He was just getting started in the grand scheme of things. The battles you're fighting now are probably not the first, and they are definitely not going to be the last. But don't ever forget the presence of God in your life. His presence, as we discussed, is greater than any armor or weapon. David went out with faith greater than weaponry, knowing that God brings deliverance, and God did deliver him, just as he will deliver us, as long as we trust in him, as long as we don't become shaken and dismayed in the face of these battles, as long as we, when we're caught off guard and encounter these battles by surprise from time to time, as long as we, even in those moments, look to him and trust in him even then, and recognize him as greater than all of our battles, greater than all of our adversaries, and of course greater than us. What then is going to happen? He's going to bring us deliverance. Why? Because the battle belongs to the Lord. The battle always belongs to the Lord. And that is why we sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. He is our greatest ally in our battles, our shield around us, our deliverer, the one who gives us strength and perseverance to endure the everyday battles we face. So my question for you tonight is God in your corner during your battles? Or do we forget him and try to face these battles alone? We get caught off guard from time to time. We think because we're caught off guard, we need to fight that battle now, alone, not consult God. Sometimes those battles, they're so great against us. And when we combine that with what we just said, it's going to be a great detriment to us. It is going to damage us. Know that if you try to fight alone, it is always going to be an uphill battle. But with God, we know that we can overcome any and all things through him. So make sure your faith is in him. Not just tonight, not just today, every single day of your life. Make sure you trust in him. Make sure you rely on him. And do not, I repeat, do not ever fight your battles alone. Recognize he is with you. Recognize he is on your side, and use that. Recognize he has delivered you before, and he can deliver you again. Never forget God. Never forsake God, because he has never forgotten or forsaken you. Remember that every single day and every single battle. If you're here this evening and not yet a Christian, You can become one tonight and have God on your side in your battles. If you've heard the word tonight or in the past and have come to believe on it, we call to encourage you to repent of your sins, to turn from your sin and worldliness to God. Confess the name of Jesus as the Son of God, and you can be baptized tonight, washed free of your sins. And God will be on your side, and you will be on His. And you can live a life faithful to Him, unbound by the sins of the past, and be able to focus on Him. And if you are here tonight as a Christian and have allowed sin back into your life, we call to you to encourage you to make that right with God tonight, because we do not know if we have tomorrow. Maybe it's something we talked about in the sermon today that you're struggling with, or maybe it's something else that you're dealing with. Whatever the case may be, make your life right with God tonight. Repent of those sins. Confess those sins to God in prayer, and He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And we are here for you as your brethren to meet you with love and encouragement. You can confess before us knowing that we are there for you, that we are going to try to help you, that we will pray for you and with you. If you're subject to the invitation, or if you need prayers of this congregation for help in any other thing, please come while we stand and while we sing.